Welcome to As for Football's Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. As for Football's Army Football Show is brought to you by Emblem Athletic. Sign up at emblemathletic.com and be a gear hero for your unit today.
So when I was a cadet, the big quarterback debate was Angel Santiago and A.J. Scherr. And I distinctly remember it was a home game. It was late in the season. It had been a rough season. We were losing this game, but we were close. Angel could not throw to save his life. And the core started an A.J. Scherr chant. As a rabble-rouser, I can neither confirm nor deny if I participated in that chant. But at the end of the day, I thought that was a pretty intense, you know, quarterback debate division that was happening. But man, it is 2021 and there is nothing like what we're seeing right now between Cade Ballard and Christian Anderson and Jamel Jones, Jabari Laws. We have so much depth in that quarterback room, and it's going to be really interesting to see what happens in spring and summer and then who ends up getting the start in fall, what kind of strategy we roll out. So we don't have all the answers for you, but we do have some analysis. We have some information, and we're going to discuss that on today's episode of the Army Football As for Football Show, sponsored by Emblem Athletic. It's your host, Jordan Horvath, coming at you from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm joined by Dan, our coastal elite up in Connecticut, and James down in Texas. Damn right. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Good, man. Much better. I definitely want to come back to the A.J. Scherr versus Angel Santiago debate, but later in the show. But I'm good. That's good.
Great. James, how's Texas?
It's good. It hasn't been freezing in a long time. It was 80 degrees today. I'm back in the air and flying, so I'm loving it.
Fantastic. Well, it is great to be back with you guys. I know we've been away for about a month or so. Really glad to be back. And, you know, just want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, Emblem Athletic. Emblem is the source for all of your custom sporting goods needs. Let them trick out your unit, whether it's military, police, fire, flag football, whatever. COVID is ending. Summer is here. All those intramurals are going to start ramping back up. Get in touch with Emblem. They'll design your gear. They'll put out a high-quality product, and they'll even set you up with an online gear store so you don't have to do anything. You just have a couple conversations with them, and they'll handle the rest. It is seamless and fantastic, and a special thanks to them for helping make this possible. Speaking of summer, Dan, does that break your heart that ski season is almost over?
Well, the quality of the snow started declining in late March, so I guess I'm ready to move forward. I do like to ski, though, I'm not going to lie. If we were in Colorado, I'd probably be out there for another month, but last time I was out, it was pure slush. What are you going
to
do?
Oof, hate that. So what else have you been doing to occupy some time?
So, yeah, my wife launched her own fitness studio. She got laid off twice during the pandemic because she is a physical trainer. So we finally just threw a Hail Mary pass and built a full-on fitness studio in our garage. And she's taking private clients out there. Long story short, if your wife starts a legit startup small business, prepare to make dinner 6 out of 7 nights a week. And that's what I've been doing.
What's have you elevated from MREs? Or, you know, where are we at in terms of this dinner making?
So cooking is the hobby I don't write about. I'm probably better than you think, but I'm not, you know, I'm not ready to go on guys' grocery games or whatever.
Okay. All right, James, are you a good cook? I mean, you know, Texas, you don't need to be a good cook because there's barbecue, there's Tex-Mex. I mean, you have a whole plethora of culinary options.
But, yeah, there are, but I can't find good Italian food to save my life down here. So that's
I wonder why that is.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like there aren't any Italians. So I have to make all that in my kitchen.
Well, a good thing you're a pilot and you could, you know, fly up to New Jersey
and grab some,
Yeah. I will say that's one thing I miss about the Northeast. I don't really miss the snow, but you know, going into a nice corner deli and they're third or fourth generation, they've been there for 100 years and just, there's something special about that.
My first 4 years in this area, I worked in the Bronx, man. It was next level. You can't even imagine.
Oh, my goodness.
I want a slice of pizza that actually tastes like a slice of pizza.
I'm a big Costco frozen pizza man myself. So
I've seen the videos in the back of like in the that Costco has, like they'll have workers release videos of how their pizza is made, and they put the crust, they have like the dough
on a rotating cylinder. Don't ruin this for me.
And sauce is ejected from like a metal pipe onto the dough.
Oh, that's
brutal. It's sacrilege, Jordan. It's sacrilege.
You're killing me. You're killing me, man. Well, that ruined my day. So, man. Okay. Well, I guess we'll just move on to some Army sports recap. Dan, why don't you take us through this? Let us know what's been happening up at West Point.
Yeah. So I don't know how many of y'all follow me on Twitter, but this was a big weekend for Army sports, and I wound up watching almost all of it and talking about a good bit of it on Twitter. First off, Army volleyball won the Patriot League over the weekend, defeating Colgate in four sets. Women's tennis beat Navy. Baseball got incredibly hot over the past week and a half or so. Softball split a set with Lehigh. Track and field lost to Navy, so boo there. Men's lacrosse lost a heartbreaker to Lehigh. And finally, women's lacrosse beat Colgate. And amazingly, after a terrible start, they're now in the driver's seat in the Patriot League North. So I know James watched some of this. Jordan, did you catch any of this?
I caught some highlights. And I got to say, I was not shocked, but very pleasantly surprised that women's volleyball won the Patriot League and they're playing Notre Dame in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. James, what was your favorite thing this weekend?
So a lot of people don't, so I mean, my favorite thing was volleyball, by far and away. I mean, I guess women's tennis over Navy is always good. The sort of thing that a lot of people don't realize is that Navy doesn't have a softball team. So softball's big rival is Lehigh, and they split a set with them and won one of the games, in a thriller. So that was kind of cool. I'll have a mini rant about track and field later, but women's lacrosse, huge surprise. And, you know, every year they sort of come out really hot in non-Patriot League play and then kind of crap the bed when it comes to Patriot League. And this year seems to be the opposite. So interesting stuff going on.
For sure. You know, I don't want to speculate, and I'm not a huge women's lacrosse aficionado, but I think they went to the NCAA my Kleber sophomore year. And they've never been really able to kind of turn that corner and really be, you know, that competitive. And, you know, this might be the year that they finally get there. So it's good to see that all that hard work is starting to pay off.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So moving on, good, bad, ugly. I'm going to take the good. Dan's going to take the bad. James, you have a face for radio, so you're going to take the ugly.
Amen, brother.
Good. Baseball now has won 9 straight games after a very slow start. They're 12-11 on the season, 7-3 in the Patriot League. That's fantastic. You know, going out to Doubleday Field, catch a game. It's, you know, usually pretty sunny out there and nice. It's, you know, 50 degrees. You got the sun. Great, great experience. Volleyball won the Patriot League championship in 4 sets from number one ranked Colgate. Women's tennis retained the star. Army women's lacrosse seemed to have turned the season around. They played well against Navy, but lost, and they went 0-3 to start the season. But they've now won 2 in a row, and they're in first place in the Patriot League North. And finally, women's basketball hired Coach Missy Traversi from Adelphi to take over from the now-retired Dave McGarity. Traversi went 83-37 the last 5 seasons. That's pretty good. So I mentioned earlier, I was a rabble rouser. We had to cheer at the men's and women's basketball games during the week. Dave McGarity might be the sweatiest man I've ever seen in my life. With the exception of Georgia State's head coach, who will sweat through everything. Dave McGarity comes out, you know, suit, very calm, 10 seconds into the game, jackets off. He's already sweated through his shirt. I've seen that man on all fours banging on the you know, the court, because he was so frustrated. Very impassioned leader, great guy. James, did you ever get to meet him while you were a cadet?
Yeah, so I got a great Coach McGarity story. So I was walking up to a First Regiment offered free t-shirts and free pizza and PMI if you went to what they called, quote, was, quote, the basketball game tonight. So we're like, all right, cool. So we go up. And we didn't pay attention to what the game was. We didn't realize it was the women's game, but we show up and it was the women's game. And as we're showing up, Coach McGarity was taking a phone call outside. He went out of his way while on the phone to like open the door for me. And I'm like thinking this is the nicest guy in the world. And I didn't know who he was. And then we realized it's a women's game. I didn't know who the coach was. And he comes out on the court. He's the coach. I was like, oh, wow, he's the coach. Like, he's a really nice guy. I'm glad he's our coach. Seems cool. I have never seen one person be so nice and get so irate in the middle of a sporting event. That man went from 0 to 100 faster than any car that's ever existed. It blew me away.
And yeah, you awesome. Meet him and you're like, this is a very, you know, composed, level-headed man.
Oh, he flips out. It's hilarious.
Like, what did you take? Like, you do
it is one of my
room?
Favorite
like,
things to watch in sports, period.
Oh, it's incredible.
At least that's how you know he's working, right? Because he's out there sweating, pounding on stuff. Love it,
exactly.
Man.
Exactly. I mean, he's not one of those coaches who just kind of sits there and lets it happen. He's there. He's feeling
little Dave McGarity appreciation for a second. Brought Army women to two NCAA tournaments. So that had never been done before, and he did it twice. Over 500 wins between men's and women's college basketball coaching combined. So congratulations to him, and hope he has a great retirement.
For sure. You know, hope he stays an Army fan. I'm sure we'll see him at some games in the future. Dan, you want to take us through the bad?
Yeah. You know, one thing I would like to say is that you talked about baseball. They played 4 games over the weekend. I watched every one of those games. I must have watched 16 hours worth of Army baseball over the weekend. Anyway, enough said. So the bad. As we said, Army softball split a set with Lehigh over the weekend, but they lost on Friday, meaning they lost the actual series. They're now 4-5 overall, 2-2 in the Patriot League. A lot of games left to play. None of that is a disaster, but they all really count at this point for the softball team. And we talked about this a little bit before. Men's lacrosse dropped a game to previously number 10 Lehigh. Defensive struggle all the way around. At one point, the Mountain Hawks got all the way up to a 4-point lead. Army came back. They actually got the lead late in the fourth quarter, but they couldn't hold it. Black Knights wound up losing by a point. They had a bunch of good looks in the last minute, but they just couldn't sink a shot. So at this point, Lehigh is now number 7 and Army's number 10, meaning that the teams have essentially switched places. I personally do not think that this is a disaster, especially since we will almost certainly see these guys again in the Patriot League tournament. However, it just gives oxygen to the haters. You know, Army is always fighting for that extra seat in the NCAA tournament on the off chance that they don't win the Patriot League tournament, which they don't all the time because there's a bunch of good teams in the Patriot League. And now it's just easier for them to get excluded, and that sucks because this team is really, really good.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about the tournament hopes in the later in Fact or Fiction, but yeah, it was just, I think it is now time to figure out what the hell is going on in the face-off X. I mean, I think we won 5 out of almost 30 face-offs. It just looked, when they lined up every time, like they were going to lose the face-off. So I understand that we've been playing a lot of elite face-off, face-off guys. But if you're going to be an elite team, you have to be able to beat elite face-off guys around half the time. So something's got to change on the X, and we'll see if they can turn it around.
Yeah, man, we'll see. Who knows? It's a good game. Faceoff has been a struggle for a couple years. I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, why don't you take us through the ugly?
Cool. Only thing we got men and women's track and field got swept by Navy, super sex. But I mean, this is just another. This is just adding more fuel to the fire of why the Star Series is an invention of some Navy grad who works for USAA and is just the parameters. They're just awful. I mean, men's cross country lost the star meet to Navy and then went on to win the Patriot League tournament, Patriot League meet, championship meet. So if you want to say that Navy had a better year this year and deserves the star in men's cross country, you're smoking something that I want. We'll see. It's the Star Series. They lost the meet, but I care a lot more about the Patriot League championship.
Yeah. You know, that happened 1 year when I was on the swim team. I don't remember if it was my yearling or cow year, but we lost to Navy by 4 points in the meet and then beat them by 2 places at the championship meet. That we came in 4th and they came in 6th. At Easterns, and it was just
all whether or not your best players or your mediocre players are better than their best players or their mediocre players. Like it's It's what do you care more about, winning earlier or later in the season, is really all it comes down to. But yeah, mini rant over.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
We've talked about the Star Series in great depth on this show. I don't think any of us are really fans. But realistically, the only sport that matters is football. So, fact or fiction, it is April 6th. Nate Woody is still the defensive coordinator. There might be some drama-rama with Coach Munkin going to Kansas. We'll see. We'll break that down in a little bit. But the other fact or fiction is that Army Lax wins an NCAA tournament game this year. James, you've done the analysis. You've crunched the numbers. You've watched the film. Where are we at with that? What are the chances?
All right, so there are 17 teams that go to the NCAA tournament in lacrosse. 9 of them come from automatic qualifiers, meaning you win your conference, you go. The only conference that doesn't have an automatic qualifier is the ACC, because they only have 5 teams, but all 5 ACC teams are going to go this year. So you have 9 automatic qualifiers out of 17 spots. It leaves you 8 spots left over. 5 of them are being taken up by the ACC, which means Army would have to get 1 of 3 spots of non-conference champions in order to go. Right now, in both polls, which, again, you know, we know the polls are not the selection committee, in both polls, their position is they are in the last spot. So if they lose a game, they're out. They are no longer in where the selection committee would put them in. Now, if they win a lot of games and they get some help, okay, maybe they could handle a loss in the Patriot League tournament and still go. Maybe. But they have to win out the regular season, and they have to win at least a game or two and maybe lose to Lehigh in the NCAA tournament. And even if they do all that, it's still not a guarantee they're in the tournament.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more optimistic than you are. I find it kind of amazing that we would take 5 ACC teams. You're going to take the last place team in the ACC. I find that a little hard to believe.
Well, they're all top 10 teams right now is the problem.
Well, okay.
Duke, UNC, Notre Dame, Virginia, and Syracuse, they're all top 9 teams.
Well, that's all right. That's brutal. I will say the thing I agree with is that it makes this weekend's game against Loyola a premium game. Army really needs to win. And Loyola is maybe not as good as they have been in the past. And Lehigh beat them pretty handily. So I think Army should win. But yeah, the margin of error at this point, unfortunately, is pretty small.
Yeah, it is razor thin. And I think it would take some help for Army to not win the Patriot League. In other words, it would take some other teams with bad losses going forward for Army to secure an at-large spot.
Well, we've seen a bunch of bad losses in college lacrosse.
It is not out of the question, but it's no longer like that at-large bid is no longer theirs to lose.
Yeah. All right. That's fair.
That's my analysis anyway.
What I'm hearing is I should not bet the remainder on my Cal loan that Army goes to the NCAA championship. Is that correct?
I personally,
Jordan, I'm shocked you have any of your loan left.
I mean, I don't, but it was for the illustration. So work with me here, okay?
I would not.
Okay, that's fair.
I still think you have a 50%, at least a 50% chance on that bet. I think Army's going to win this weekend against Loyola.
So I think we should make this interesting. Dan, you're at above 50%. James, you seem pretty down on them. Do we want to like have a little friendly, gentlemanly wager between the two of you
for
on
winning
whether or not...
one NCAA game?
Yes.
Here's what I will do. I will say that if Army misses the NC2A tournament, I will film 100 push-ups. And if they make it, then James can film 100 push-ups.
James, are you in? Are you in? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, done. We'll work out the details later. You guys heard it here. This is live.
Remember, I'm in the Navy now. You know what our push-ups are.
Yeah, I know. That's going to be a little hard for you to get to 100, so we'll let you use your knees. We'll let you take some breaks. We'll do some things with the editing. You know,
if 60 I'm 48.
Exactly. If 60 Minutes can edit an interview to say whatever they want, then we can edit James' push-ups. All right? So.
Oh, my God. I'm 48. I'm literally double your age. All right. I'm scandalized. Scandalized, I tell you.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm telling James gets to do stuff on his knees, not you.
Obviously.
Okay. I'm just, all right. You got that old man strength. All right. You know, dad bod, all that. It's, isn't your wife fitness instructor?
Yeah, no, that's true. She is. I'll do 25, drink a beer, do 25, drink a beer, and then I'll be drunk and ripped at the same time.
I feel bad now. I don't want to bet against Army.
It's too late, Navy boy.
Why'd you pressure me into? Damn it, Jordan.
Hey, you know what? I'm the host. I make the rules. All right.
Oh man.
But for me, in order, let's clear this up. Dan said if they make the tournament, if they miss the tournament, he'll do 100 push-ups. I said if they don't win a game in the NCAA tournament, I'll do 100 push-ups.
So there's a middle ground?
I guess there's a middle ground where neither of us have to do push-ups.
All right. Calm down. I will clarify. Dan, if they do not make the tournament, you have to do 100 push-ups.
Yes.
James, if they do make the tournament and win a game, I'm confused.
If I'll tell you what, if they do make the tournament and they win a game, then Jordan, you have to do 100 push-ups.
No, that's me. If it's in the middle, I'm Jordan has to do them.
Oh, okay. Right. So then, Jordan, I guess your 100 is if they make the tournament, but they somehow
they lose the first game.
Hey, you know what we're gonna do? If you're in the Firsty Club on Facebook because you're a patron,
oh, there you go.
You listen to this show, hash this out between us, and devise a gentleman's wager for us. We would love to hear what you guys come up with. And if you want to be a part of that, become a patron and join the Firsty Club. Problem solved.
There you go. That's a good one. I like that.
So we are now at the mercy of that group of guys, which is quite terrifying.
That's brutal.
I love my hair, but I guess not for long. Anyway, so spring football. We learned this week in Coach Monken's presser that he actually pushed spring football back a few weeks in order to maximize the team's off-season weightlifting program. And I got to say, if y'all don't follow Army Strength and Conditioning on Twitter, you are missing out. Because we have some incredible coaches who put out videos of, one, the team working out fires you the hell up. Two, like what the correct form of stuff needs to look like. You know, the guy who taught me how to bench, you know, sophomore year of high school in my sweaty, gross high school gym, you know, the guy who taught history doesn't actually know what a good bench press is. Coach Hughes at Army knows what a good bench press is, and he will break it down for you and show you the science behind it. So I have every confidence in them. I think that's a fantastic decision from Coach Monken. Why the hell not? Let's get them big and strong. That's what we need. So because of that, we're actually a few days into the practice schedule now. A lot of teams are playing their games this weekend. I'm going to the UCF game this weekend. I know Florida State has theirs this weekend. But, you know, our black and gold game for Army is on April 30th. And based on some preliminary reports, we think that some fans might be allowed into this game, but most likely only on post fans, which is absolutely super lame. I hate that, but, you know, it is what it is at this point. If there's a plan to televise the game, that has not been announced. However, we do have a little bit of visibility into what's been happening thanks to our boy Sal, and he posted a pretty good positional recap on Black Knight Nation, which is his, you know, podcast website. And so let's dive into that. Dan, do you want to take us through the defense?
I will definitely take you through the defense. So bottom line, it looks like it's going to be a pretty experienced defense with a couple of question marks, and I do mean like literally two maybe. So we got a bunch of experience returning along the defensive line. We are losing Amadeo West. West has been a fantastic player, although he struggled to stay healthy, but last year he was fantastic. However, returning this year are Quibina Bonsu, Nolan Cockrell, and Ryan Duran. We also had a bunch of young guys flash at times over the year. So, you know, just that base three is a pretty good base three. On linebackers, we've got Eric Smith coming back at middle linebacker. I'll be really surprised if he's not named a captain. We know that we need to replace Johnny Nation. That won't be easy. A few guys to watch in there. Wilson Coteau, Kermonte Yao, Andre Carter II, Fabrice Voyne. think I might have actually missed the plea that started in the bowl game, who's probably got the inside track. And then Malcolm Morrison is coming back at that hybrid outside linebacker, big nickel spot. So there's some openings there in the linebacker position, but also, you know, Smith and Morrison, those are great players. And those other guys have all played a lot as well. Finally, the secondary might actually be the best part of this team in 2021. We're losing Javari Bordeaux, but pretty much everybody else is back. And amazingly, all of those guys in the secondary are pretty much just headed into their cow year. And they all played really well last year. So defense is looking good. Yeah, you know, we're going to need a new middle linebacker and another outside rush linebacker, but it's not too bad.
Yeah, it's incredible that our secondary is so young. You know, usually we have, you know, we finally get a firstie who's a good playmaker in there and not a complete liability, and then we lose him, and we have to feels like we have to start over every year. James, do you have any hot takes on the defense? And if not, take us through special teams.
No, I think you guys pretty much covered it all on defense. I'll take you through special teams. We're losing who was our starting kicker for most of the year last year, Landon Salyers. Quinn Moreski, who was our kicker for, I believe, the Army-Navy game? Yes. Maybe not. Yeah, he was for the Army-Navy game.
No, he was. Yep.
And then Air Force and the bowl game. They had him take that last second or, you know, final two-minute field goal in the bowl game, which I will never understand. But he seems to be, the inside track for kicker. And, I'm excited about it. He certainly won his starting spot, towards the end of this year. So we're looking forward to that. And then punter Zach Harding, he's back as well. And that's a huge advantage. Cause I mean, if you look at the Army Navy game and the Air Force game, the reason that we stayed in those games the entire time was just field position and Zach Harding getting an extra 5 to 10 yards of field position every time he punts. And then all of a sudden now we have the ball at the 50 instead of them having the ball at the 50 and being able to get points out of it. So definitely looking forward to Zach Harding.
It's amazing because Harding seems like he's one of these guys that's been in the program for 7 years. But I mean, really, it seems like he's been the punter forever, but he's back. I actually had to look that up and make sure that was true. But
that's because our last punter was Zach Potter. So,
oh, okay. Thank you.
Same first name.
I got so confused.
It's like that dude at Clemson, Hunter Renfro. Felt like he was there for like 14 years, but only there for three. Yeah. All right. I'm going to take us through the fat kids on offense. And then James is going to go back to you for some position players. And then we are going to hash it out about the quarterbacks. So, big boys on the offensive line. We're losing JB Hunter, Mike Johnson, Luke McCleary, and Peyton Reeder. A lot of experienced guys are coming back, though. They might not necessarily be starters, but we had so many injuries up front that we had a ton of guys rotate in a quarter into the game, you know, half into the game, whatever. So Connor Bishop, Noah Knapp, Mason Collingcheck, Dean Powell have all started a bunch of games. And then rising yearlings, Connor Finucane and Booby Law, love that name, both saw substantial playing time last year, including the bowl game. You know, we have a ton of talent in the offensive line. Let's hope they can stay healthy. You know, out of all the positions on a football field, the offensive line really is that position that needs that cohesion. You'll see on the SEC, they have 80 combined starts together or whatever crazy number it is. So we definitely need that. You know, that's going to be one of the key positions that we're going to continue to, you know, follow and watch throughout the season. Additionally, tight ends, losing Jake Lauer, but returning tight end Chris Cameron, who might be one of the best players on the team. We don't know who's going to back him up yet. Maybe my little brother coming down from prep school has an opportunity. We'll see what happens. But, right now it's Chris Cameron. So, James, back to you for wide receivers, fullbacks, and slot backs.
Sounds good. We'll get to that before the quarterbacks because I know that's going to cause some contention. We have wide receivers. We're losing Jordan Blackman and Cam Harrison, which we've known. We have Isaiah Alston, Cole Caterbone, and Rekan Donaldson coming back. They didn't see as much action last year. Blackman and Harrison got the majority of looks. We're still looking for, a wide receiver number one to come out from the group. We haven't really had any fantastic receivers since, Poe left. Obviously, Cam Harrison has had a couple of big plays in recent years, but, it's sort of like, well, he's wide open and, whoever happens to be throwing the quarterback, you know, you're throwing the ball that day, a quarterback hits him square in the chest, and he might run for 70 yards, but not necessarily, you know, fantastic catches, that sort of thing. So we'll see if any of those three between Alston, Ketterbone, and Donaldson can come out and make an impression during spring ball. Fullbacks have all of them coming back. You know, we have Anthony Adkins, Jacoby Buchanan, and Cade Renard. They're not going to see significant playing time in the spring. I think a large part of that is they don't want to get them hurt. Fullback is a position where, you know, you bust an ankle. We've had a lot of issues with that in the past where you have a fullback missing, you know, two or three games midseason. And now they're taking extra time off just to prep for Navy, and they don't want that to happen. So between Barnard, Buchanan, and Adkins, we're not going to see him in the spring, but we'll expect to see him in the fall. Trying to see what some of the younger guys can do. I remember when I was a cow in firsty, when Army was really good, we had four fullbacks that would sort of cycle through, and each play, you know, one would come out, and we'd always have fresh legs. We'd have fresh legs on 280 pounds going up the center, which worked out really well. So looking for a fourth fullback to round out that group. So it's a little bit of a tryout going on there. We have a few guys to watch for. We have Tyson Riley, he's 6'2", 260. And then a rising cow, Cole Truix, who's 6'2", 240. So Riley a little bit bigger. We'll see what they can do in spring ball. 260 is about what we're averaging for Army fullbacks right now. So we'll see how it goes. Slot back-wise, we're losing Ortiz Hobbs and Dominic DiStefano. There's a lot of possibilities here, former quarterbacks. You know, maybe some younger guys. So we have Tyrell Robinson, obviously, rising, you know, yearling, who had a great year last year, was our big slot back. A.G. Howard and Braham Murphy are definite possibilities. And then we'll talk about it more later when we talk quarterbacks, but, you know, potentially a Tyre Tyler or another one of the open space quarterbacks could be moved to slot back to start the season off.
Thanks, James. So now the moment you've all been waiting for. We've saved this till the end because it was a raging discussion in the Firsty Club this past week. Candidly, I think it was driving through Georgia when it happened, so I missed a lot of it. But it was heated going back and reading these comments. People are very passionate about who they think should play, who they think should start, what our offensive philosophy should be. And so I'm just going to go through and kind of set the scene for us. And then we're just going to let whatever happens, happens. All right? So we've got a lot of guys coming back. You know, typically what we've seen, as I mentioned earlier, we had Andrew Santiago, AJ Scher, and then, you know, you figured out pretty early that AJ Scher is going to start the next year because, you know, he's a Cal. Santiago's a senior. And then after that, Bradshaw. And we've had some clear lines of succession throughout the last few years. This year we have Tyre Tyler coming back, and he's the incumbent starter, great, you know, runner. Brent Davis loves his skills, but he's also could be the most likely to move the slot back. Christian Anderson started this season, had one bad quarter last year, great game manager, you know, a couple times during the season when he needed to pick up and play, he picked up and played and made some, you know, some great plays. But then there's Cade Ballard, and Cade Ballard started against UTSA, had an absolutely incredible game, great arm, bruiser, motivational leader, everything you want in a quarterback. Technically, he's never lost a game as a starting quarterback because he's only started one game that he won, but didn't really see a lot of action later in the season. I know we heard reports of different injuries and stuff like that. We also have Jamel Jones, who is the best size, speed, upside. He looks like Bradshaw with a better arm. They're built very similar. He's a bruiser. He can run physically, but he can also throw. And by the way, in case you forgot, we still have Jabari Laws, who is lethal in space. So five potential quarterbacks. We can't put it past the coaching staff to, you know, go run two quarterbacks at the same time. So, Dan, why don't you ease us into this conversation, you know, slowly, gently, like an old woman getting into a bath. What do you think is going to happen at quarterback this season?
Well, I don't know if I know what I necessarily think is going to happen. I will say that when we say that Cade Ballard has never lost a game as a starting quarterback, that includes his high school career in which he was 30-0 and was a two-time Tennessee Mr. Football. You know, Tennessee is not a small football state. That's a pretty significant award to win twice. So in terms of just like what you've accomplished before, Ballard has a huge resume. I guess what I would say is I think it's not a small deal that Brent Davis very obviously loves Tyre Tyler's skill set, that he's in love with that speed and explosiveness. And, you know, we all know that Tyler's not the biggest guy in the world, but he has got to be one of the most aggressive players I've ever seen. I mean, when was the last time you saw a 5'8" dude hit the pile and move the pile? And that's what we saw from Tyler like a couple of times, especially late in the season. So I don't know what's going to happen. You know, Christian Anderson, he was terrible for the first quarter, the Tulane game, but you take away that one quarter and he was really, really good. So, you know, I don't know. It'll be an interesting competition.
James, take us up a notch. Let's get some disagreement.
One would not characterize my opinion on Cade Ballard as shy. I am a huge Cade Ballard fan. If I had to make a decision right now, who is going to start a game for Army tomorrow, it would be Cade Ballard. But let's preface it by saying this. The downside of delaying practice by 2 weeks to extend gym time is that these guys are not getting the same looks at the option. They're getting two fewer weeks of looks at the option. Now, will that matter? I'm not sure. They're still going to have a lot of time. They're going to have months more than last year, which is fantastic. Maybe they can actually run a triple option this year. But that's two fewer weeks of getting looks at the option. So I hope that each of these guys, with all the time they're spending in the gym, are also looking and studying, you know, how to make reads. So that's number one. But Cade Ballard had the best, you know, in his limited time last year, had the best decision-making I've ever seen for someone that new at the triple option. He made reads that took Tyler and Anderson an extra half a second to make. And that really impressed me. The other thing that I'll say is Jamel Jones and Cade Ballard, yes, they're both bruisers. I think Cade Ballard is a little bit better at pushing the pile. And I think that with my lack of confidence in the offensive line going forward, I definitely want a bruiser and not an area quarterback. I don't want a fast runner because a fast runner can't do anything for you if the offensive line doesn't create any space for him. So I'm pro Cade Ballard. That would be my choice, but I'm not Brent Davis. So
no one is Brent Davis except Brent Davis, and no one really knows what Brent Davis is thinking until it happens on the field. So
sorry, Jordan.
I'm not being passive aggressive. I'm just being honest.
Jordan is turning into Lily from AT&T during the tournament. Just stating the obvious.
Oh man,
that's what I'm here for, guys. That's what I'm here for. So, in my mind, it's simple. Tyler is by far the fastest player on the team. He does well at the option. Maybe not the team at the quarterback position. He does well at the option. But his real advantage is his speed. So he needs to move the slot back. Bottom line, take him out of the quarterback room. Jabari Laws, I saw something that he's not ready to go full contact yet, and they're trying to save him, this, that, and the other thing. So in my mind, he is not going to play until halfway through the season. Because if you haven't played football in 2 years, you're not playing spring, they're not going to start you first game in the fall at Georgia State, who we've struggled with in the past. Jamel Jones, best speed upside, Bradshaw, better arm, interesting. Cade Ballard, fantastic. All the reasons you've said, James. And then Christian Anderson. I really like Christian Anderson. But in my opinion, he does not always make the best decisions with the football, whether that's putting it on the ground or making the wrong read or whatever. There were just moments last season where he didn't feel like he was totally locked into the game, almost like he was a little bit, you know, behind what everyone else was doing. I think he's a great player. I think he's a great option. But as I have said before, we need to look to the future and not be in a position where senior graduates, we have no clue what the heck's going to happen. Quarterback, because no one has any other experience. And for that reason, among others, Cade Ballard needs to start. James?
Did Christian Anderson play against any team that deserves to call himself FBS last year except for Tulane?
I mean, he played against Air Force quite a bit.
He did? Oh, yeah. I guess he came into the game. Okay.
I mean, so, he moved the ball really well against West Virginia. I mean, really well.
So, first of all, I wouldn't characterize any of his play against Air Force as good. Tulane, he had a lot of promise, but like, I don't trust the results of a triple option quarterback last year when we didn't run the triple option last year. Like, he could have been the best quarterback in America last year, but we didn't run the triple option. And if we're going to run the triple option this year, I don't care. Like, it just doesn't matter to me. So, sort of level playing field, not one other than Jabari Laws, not one quarterback on this team has run an Army triple option offense. And so throw the results out the window and take what you know, I agree with Jordan. Cade Ballard fan. I think Taylor Tyler would be a fantastic slot back. I can't imagine what defenses are going to try to do against, you know, having two A backs as Robinson and Tyler. Like, that's a nightmare for defenses. And then if it's Jamel Jones, I'm okay with that. If it's Cade Ballard, I'm really okay with that. But I want somebody that, you know, if the offensive line is not going to give you the 2 yards you need to go forward, I know they're going to get 2 yards anyway. And those two quarterbacks are the only two guys I think could do that right now.
Well, yeah. So to answer your question, James, Christian Anderson played Middle Tennessee State.
No.
ULM.
No.
Cincinnati.
Okay. He got hurt against Cincinnati though, right?
He did. And then he played Abilene Christian.
No.
Tulane, Air Force, and West Virginia.
Okay.
So you got four decent games. Didn't even play the full game against Cincinnati. We'll call it 3.5.
And he didn't play the full game against West Virginia either.
Exactly. So overall, in my opinion, I am not impressed enough with his resume and what he did last season to anoint him starter over the sophomore Cade Ballard, who showed a ton of promise, played incredibly well, and arguably made better decisions as a freshman starting his first game than the junior did, who's been in the system for 3 years.
And I'll say that the only time that I was convinced Army ran the triple option for like a full drive was against Texas San Antonio last year, and Cade Ballard was the quarterback, and he was making good reads.
So yeah. Dan, I disagree with some of this. I think you guys are selling Anderson short quite a bit. The knock on Anderson is that he's really not a great passer. He has a kind of a similar skill set to Tyre Tyler, but he's taller. But Anderson is not like a heavy dude. He's like kind of skinny.
So, 195 pounds.
Yeah, but he's like 6'1", 195, something like that. Mm-hmm. So Jamel Jones, I think, is about that same size, but he's only 5'10". So it comes off cross a little.
Jamel Jones is like 210.
So, all right. Anyway, my point is Anderson does his best running in space, which is fine. But if you know, you remember Kelvin Hopkins used to be deadly out on the edge because he had that arm. And Anderson, I think, would have a better game if he could, you know, sort of get out there and either pitch or throw. And I do think he pitches pretty well. Like in the bowl game, he pitched the ball effectively and, you know, was moving the offense effectively, running the option outside. But he's not a great runner between the tackles. He sort of has a similar skill set to Tyre Tyler, but Tyre Tyler has much more speed. So it's not surprising, even though you almost never see Tyler pitch the ball, and it's an adventure when he does pitches, or at least it was last season. But nevertheless, you can sort of see why they went with one over the other.
Yeah. Anderson is a great quarterback. I just think we have better people on the roster. And if the coaches decide to name Anderson the quarterback, I'm going to support him 100%. But right now, in April, in the offseason, when we have no clue what the hell's going on, I think they need to go with Cade Ballard or even Jamel Jones and put Christian Anderson at, you know, tight end or not necessarily slot back, but wide receiver or something. Let's use him in space. And if, you know, we are getting away from a true option, which we've seen in the last few years, we have not run a true option. I don't think his skill sets align with that. And I think going with someone like a Ballard or Jones is better. Now, that opens up a broader conversation of what type of offense and option should we run. And, you know, we can debate that at another time, so, but I think that also informs the conversation.
So let me just defend Tyre Tyler here for a second, because we're all acting like we've seen his entire skill set, when what we saw was he was hurt all offseason, didn't practice in the spring, was a slot back during the summer. And then when everything kind of fell apart, they were like, okay, I guess we'll move you back to quarterback. And it turns out that he's got elite his speed and escapability, and that was good. But my man spent 0 hours during the offseason pitching the football. So instead of saying, you know, we definitely know what we want because we saw it last season, it is also possible to practice pitching a football and to take your fastest, most elusive quarterback and just teach him to pitch. Like, that's not even difficult. That can be done.
It's not so much about the execution of the pitch. Like Anderson has a great execution of his pitch. He just doesn't always do it at the right time. And I'm rooting for the Cardinal Hayes kid from the Bronx. But, you know, like, if you're half a second late on the pitch, that could be the difference between getting 12 yards and it going the other way for 6. Like, execution, yes, that matters. But in terms of reading the pitch, like, I think that Anderson can pitch the ball better than Ballard. I have little doubt in my mind that that's true. I just don't think that Anderson's going to do it as quickly as Ballard, or I don't trust that Anderson's going to do it as quickly as Ballard. Ballard, you know, showed, you know, an amazing, it was 2 drives in a row against Texas San Antonio, who was a division winner last year. And,
oh yeah,
I mean, it was not an easy opponent. They had a good defense, and for 2 drives in a row, I think we had, I mean, for the first time in probably a few years, Army was getting a majority of their yards on the outside through pitches. And that was with Cade Ballard at quarterback.
UTSA was the last time, the only game last season when we looked like vintage Army. And I'm talking 2016, 17, 18 Army. 19 was a step back. You know, I say vintage Army, you know, freaking 3 years ago. But that was the last time we looked like the Army we all know and love, and we know we're going to get 3 yards. But there were a lot of times last season when we had different quarterbacks in, and I didn't know if we were going to get to the line of scrimmage. We just didn't. And we can blame the offensive line. We can blame the play calling. But based on that, the offense looked the best when Ballard was at quarterback, in my opinion.
I just sort of feel like that it's going into this season, the biggest asset on the offense is Jacoby Buchanan, and it's not even close. And
yeah.
And if you want a quarterback that's going to complement that well, like, if you know, go 3-4 years ago when Army was really good, nobody, you know, we didn't have space quarterbacks. We had freaking Ahmad Bradshaw and Kelvin Hopkins. They went up the middle and they got 4 yards when they needed to. No, Hopkins could also throw on the outside and things like that, but their primary threat was, you know, as General Caslin said, 4 more damn yards. And I just think that Jones and Ballard can do that really well. And that's the only way that Army's proved to do well.
Yeah. Bottom line, ton of confusion, ton of opinions on all sides. We don't have the answers right now. We might get some more at the end of camp, but knowing the way Coach Monken runs things, I would bet some money that we are not going to know who our starting quarterback is until they walk out on the field in Atlanta at Georgia State. That's just my gut feeling. Go ahead.
Do you think the players will know who the starting quarterback is at the end of the summer, or is it just going to be a big mystery? I'm sorry, at the end of spring?
I think they're going to know top three, but I don't think they're going to know for sure.
Okay.
So that's just my read on it. We'll see what actually happens. We're going to move on, though. We're going to continue this conversation. And the Firstie Club, we're going to continue it, you know, throughout the podcast. If you have a hot take, tweet us, Facebook us, Instagram us, join the Firstie Club. We'd love to hear what you have to say. Moving on to the rumor mill. Once again, we are in April, right? The coaching carousel is supposed to be done. The little hobbit man should be off his little thing. They've packed it up, and the circus is gone to the next city, and you're done for a year. But here we are, because Les Miles can't keep it in his pants. Kansas needs a coach. They also need an athletic director. To be fair, it never anyway. Les Miles made some quote unacceptable and inappropriate decisions, unquote. Kansas needs a new coach. Recent reports from there, 24/7 Sports, whatever, claims that Willie Fritz from Tulane and Jeff Munkin are the leading candidates, full stop. It also had a little thing in there about Buffalo's Lance Leopold has also been named. We'll see. They're going to get a new athletic director. He might be the assistant AD from Northwestern. We don't know. In 15 seconds or less, Dan, what's your reaction to this?
Lance Leopold.
All right.
Hey, keep it easy. He's first off, if you're Willie Fritz, why are you leaving Tulane? You haven't remotely accomplished everything you set out to accomplish, and you've been knocking on the door forever. If you're Jeff Munkin, like, I'm not inside Coach Munkin's house, and I don't know what's going on and like in his head or all that stuff, but I personally do not see the University of Kansas as being a better coaching job than Army. I can't think of, except for maybe straight money payout, I can't think of any reason why you would leave Army to coach at Kansas. It's just my two cents. Buffalo's Lance Leipold has won everywhere he's ever been. Kansas is definitely a step up from Buffalo. He's an outstanding young coach. Like, that to me is not even a difficult decision, if you want to know my honest opinion.
Yeah. James?
Shaka Smart just left the University of Texas to be the Marquette basketball head coach. And he did that because he doesn't want to be coaching a team where he could get fired at the end of any given season. And he'd rather make a little bit less money and be a damn hero at Marquette and coach there for the next 20 years. Why would Jeff Munkin want to leave, maybe make twice as much for a few years, and then get fired from an unrecoverable football program in the state of Kansas when he could be the coach of Army for the next 30 years of his life?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. We could give him one of those, you know, coach for life deals or whatever. Coach Munkin's wife was one of our cheer coaches when I was a rabble rouser. And she made it very clear to me that one of the things they hated about, you know, New York or whatever is how, you know, desolate it is, if you will.
Kansas versus New York, excuse me. Tornado country where it snows just as much as New York.
That's my point. That's my point.
Yeah.
Why the hell are you going to go to Kansas?
Like, oh, my.
We'll see what happens. I might eat these words. I really hope I don't, but you know, he has three daughters. I just don't see him uprooting his family and pulling them away from all their friends to go to Kansas. If it was somewhere closer to home or, you know, a cool city or something like that, maybe. But, hey, honey, you know, pack the U-Haul. We're going to go to Kansas so that I can work 20 hours a week and lose all my hair. Doesn't this sound great? I don't see it happening.
I don't know if this is important, but I dated a girl from Kansas one time and she was super hot, but she went to K-State.
Oh, no, 100%.
Of course she went to Kansas State. Out there.
What the hell else do they have?
Super hot. I mean, oh my God.
They are gorgeous women. A lot of them are blonde. Trust me. I'm well aware of the talent that Kansas puts out on the female front.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
Moving on, fact or fiction, I'm going to go first. Most of the plays we run in the spring game will never be used in the fall. That's based on historical precedent of us running a lot of spread stuff in the spring game in the last couple of years. Dan, what do you think?
Absolute fact, because everyone knows that Coach Davis's favorite play is quarterback power, and you will not see that in the spring game.
Fair. James?
I'm going to go fact, and I wish it weren't, but if it were televised, I'd hope to like see Army quarterbacks actually trying to run the triple option.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say fact two. Dan, I completely agree with you. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. We won a lot of games last season.
Absolutely.
Like, nope, okay, just give it time. Just keep running the quarterback. Hey, we got five quarterbacks. So
I am not.
QB power,
I am.
We're fine.
Yeah, that's, you know, that is the upside of having five quarterbacks with starting experience, is that you can afford to run a crap ton of quarterback power.
Yeah. Dano, so, what's your fact or fiction for us?
Fact or fiction, Tyer Tyler comes out of camp as the starting quarterback. Jordan, I guess we'll kick it to you first.
Fiction. And not that he is not going to be the starter. I just don't think that we're going to have any answers or any clarity.
Oh, that's fair. All right, James.
I'm going to go fiction. I think he has the biggest upside as a slot back, and I would love to see a Robinson-Tyler slot back combo.
I'm going to say fact, just because I know it's going to drive you guys crazy.
We'll laugh at you later. Don't worry, Dan.
Exactly. Dan the optimist.
And I'll go next. So I'm going to say fact or fiction. Greater than 50% of the offensive plays that we see in the upcoming season are going to actually be a triple option play, not so called from the room.
I have a question, sir.
Yep.
Question. How do you define triple option? Because if you're talking pure good question. Veer, that, no way. Right? It's saying, not Paul Johnson.
Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that whether it's a pitch or just going to the outside or run up the middle, like if I'm asking if on greater than 50% of plays, you can say, yep, that was called from the press box, or no, that was an actual read and the middle linebacker was cheating in, so they went to the outside.
Okay, I have opinions. Can I go first? I have opinions. First off, yeah. I do not think that you will be able to tell what was what. And moreover, even if they call quarterback power, I think the reality is that there are reads in every single play with rare exceptions. So this is kind of a tough question in that sense. How many of those plays are going to be triple option? Like way less than 50% will be triple option, but there are a lot of like read keys in all of these crazy plays.
I'm more thinking along the lines of like this year, 10% of plays had a significant read in them, whether you were pitching or giving to the dive or keeping. I mean, you could tell that it was all just called from upstairs. Is that going to be the case on less than 50% of plays this year?
So I guess I disagree. I understand the point you're making, James, but I think I disagree with it because the quarterback is making reads and doing checks while he's at the line. And while the option might not look like a quote traditional option, I think there are absolutely, you know, elements of the option still in it. Now, the play might be set up where it's, hey, you give it to the fullback or the quarterback's going to run it. And it's really, you know, a double option. I don't know, but for that reason, I'm going to go ahead and say fiction because I don't think we're going to see that traditional option that I think you're expecting or necessarily wanting to see. I love the pitch to the outside. I love that veer, but I don't think we're going to see it. And I don't think we're going to put our quarterbacks in that position to make that tough call enough this season.
Yeah, I'm going to go fact. I just think that given a full spring camp and a full summer, neither of which we had last year, and it hurt Service Academy and triple option football, and we saw that, you know, I think that given all that time to teach quarterbacks how to make reads, that they're going to be a lot more trusting of their quarterbacks this year, and I hope that they are.
So I'm going to say fiction, and I guess I'm just doubling down here. This team likes to run on the midline. Like, that is what they want to do. They, you know, Navy wants to spread you out and run to the edges, and Army wants to get you in a phone book and beat your ass. And so that's not going to go away.
Yeah.
Nor should it. You know, I think Paul Johnson really did damage to the image of triple options. I think he did a lot for that style of offense, but him just sitting there and refusing to innovate, I think that really hurt people's perception of the option. And I like that Navy and Army, both coaches went under Paul Johnson, have gone different directions. And Dan, I think you're absolutely right. I think we run up the middle. I think we're a physical, violent football team. And I think that plays well to our culture and our skill set to continue to run it up the middle.
Yeah, I agree. Why is Tyre Tyler or Christian Anderson going to be under center then?
All right. Let's come back to this because we're not going to agree on this tomorrow. But, you know, clearly this discussion is not over.
No, absolutely not. Dan, why don't you close this out?
Yeah, so my favorite thing this week was that I re-upped my Army football season tickets. I had the opportunity to do that. I plan to get vaccinated with COVID at whatever point the vaccine shows up in my neighborhood. God knows when that will actually be. But the reason I mention this is not only was it my favorite thing, but if you've been considering becoming a member of our Firstie Club and you've been on the fence, let me just tell you, I almost always have at least one or two extra tickets during the year when my wife or my kids can't go to the game with me. And I give those seats out to members of the club. Whoever can go, first come, first serve. It's usually last minute. But, you know, if you're local and you want a shot at like sitting with me on a random Saturday, the only way that that's going to occur is in the Firstie Club. You know, we have awesome discussions. And honestly, I'm just trying to give back to the people that make this show possible. Because otherwise, those seats are going to go unused. And I would much, much rather sit with another hardcore Army football fan. And that's all of the members of the Firstie Club. So if you want to sit with me or just talk with me and us about Army football, join us on Patreon, join the discussion, and I promise you won't regret it. People really enjoy it.
So, fun fact, Dan, you and I have never met in person.
That's true.
We've been doing this for 3 years, and I've never met you in person. So, I know last year we talked about doing stuff and COVID or whatever, so I'm going to need one of those tickets at some point, especially to let fans in, because, I mean, come on, but we talk every day and I've never met you. So I can't vouch for like if you smell nice or if you're like a leg jiggler or if you're like one of those dudes who like, you know, takes up both armrests. Like, I can't vouch for that, but you're a great guy and I would love to go to a football game with you. And if you're on the fence, become a patron, go to a football game with Dan. And with that, I'm gonna go ahead and close this out, guys. Thanks for being on. Listeners, thank you for listening. Go Army. Beat COVID, beat the offseason, beat CLDT, beat everything.
Beat Navy.
Beat them.